This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Coming in hot on that intro there. I regret it. I wanted a bit more of a chilled kind of vibe and I came in too hot.
Well, you've got to save your energy. We've got a lot of meetings today.
We have a lot of meetings. People don't realise. They think that the hours we work are literally the ones you hear on air, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And I'll be honest, a lot of that stuff could be emails. The two meetings today could all be emails.
You know those meetings where people are literally just going through a PowerPoint presentation that they're going to send you afterwards?
Yep.
That you 100% will not read.
The good part
but is... But I feel like that's what they know what they're doing. They're like, I'm going to read this to you because I know you're not going to read it in an email later.
Yeah, but it's like it's just people that need to look busy, you know, like they need their calendar full so it looks like they're actually doing work. That's what these meetings are all about. There, I said it. Controversial, I'll admit, especially if some of the people hear it that are in the meeting. But I stand by it.
I was asking you guys, do you reckon I could weekend at Bernie's it up and just wear some sunglasses in there?
Well, producer Shelby and myself have already decided on the admin we're doing. I've got a bunch of promo things to write for some competition we're doing. Shelby's got a bunch of her normal admin, which is a ton. So
I do have to do a bit of research for Fame Game.
Well, yeah, Fame Game, update you will. Like, be productive.
Oh, I should do that.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, I don't have one, but I should.
Well, you should do that. There you go. They'll keep you busy.
I think that's a phone call, isn't it?
No, but just writing stuff out, you know.
Do you have a will?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. You're not getting anything, in case you're wondering.
No, I'm more shocked you've got a will, but it's a thing. Who did you go to for
that? As soon as you buy a house, it's recommended that you have a will.
Oh, God, I don't.
I'd recommend that you have one. Because what happens if you die and then, like, all of a sudden your family's trying to claim ownership over things, but Russell's entitled to things? It's a whole thing.
Do you know what? Do you know my biggest thing that I'm worried about? Not the house or anything. Not Russell, that's for sure.
It's the pets.
The pets.
That's the same with, so Winston, that was my number one priority as well. And so we made a whole plan about if Jewel and I were both to pass away, what would happen with Winston? Mm. Yeah.
Now, not to get too macabre, but.
Spoiler alert, you're getting Winston.
Oh, God.
That is not true.
You
no
can break
way.
That to Gus.
No.
No, but that is, you know, you and I have both volunteered at animal shelters.
Yeah.
And that is a huge part of some of the rescue animals is people's animals that have passed away.
So I had an average will, one of those post office jobs that I don't know how legit they are. But then when I started at Cat Haven, they actually have like a thing where you can like get wills done with them. Like it's like, I think it's basically the whole idea is so you can donate money to them when you pass away and stuff like
that's
that.
Nice.
It's a good idea. And yes, yeah, so we did that.
Oh, well, now I know who to put in my will then.
Me.
For the house.
Me.
RSPCA.
I'm right here. I mean,
hopefully they can put a little spot in the back for Russ. He'll be homeless.
Oh, wait, this is only if you die? He gets the house taken from him? Wow, mourning his dead wife and the fact that he's homeless. Fantastic.
He would love to live at the RSPCA. Endless dogs.
Let's do our bucks. Your letter tomorrow is K for kangaroo.
Yep.
Starting with the letter K... Name me, I don't know. There's two that are kind of tricky. It's the wording. They're not hard, but they're just tricky. All right. Starting with K, name me a position of power.
KO?
Knockout?
Yeah.
No. A position of power? King.
Oh.
See, that's what I mean. It's a bit tricky. Like, the answer's fairly
You're
obvious.
You're asking a woman that? We don't know about that.
I'm not allowed to comment. And that is where we'll end the podcast.
King and what else is there?
That's it. Just King.
Of course.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, no, it was a letter starting with Q.
I know what you're saying.
It'd be
mate.
King. Still. Not leaving it. You're going to get me in trouble. Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
131060, we're asking, when did an animal bite you after I saw a kid get bit by a goat in a petting zoo weekend?
You were way too happy
about
that.
Look, the kid handled it like a champion. The mum warned the kid. She's like, okay, well, they're on the goat. And the goat just kind of, it was a little nibble, you know, a little nibble. But it was enough for the kid to go, there's a life lesson here. As I'm currently 3 years old.
The goat's like, there's a reason I'm the goat and you're not.
Absolutely. It was actually pretty adorable. I saw a video the other day of a cat. It was kind of like biting at a little kid because the kid was biting its tail. And they were like almost like biting each other, taking turns. And I was like, is this affection or is this get them out of the
like
same room?
I feel like that's probably get them out because you've got a baby coming in, Winston. Yeah. I feel like you probably need to intervene there.
I don't trust
I mean,
Winston.
I'm not a parent. Though,
I don't trust Winston around Julia. There's no chance around this child. But 131060 got us thinking, when did an animal bite you? Nicole in Geraldton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Nicole, when did an animal bite you?
About, probably a good 6 years ago now.
Oh, traumatic. Still thinking about it. New Year's Eve?
Oh, my God. What a way to ring in the new year.
Yeah, maybe it was wanting a kiss.
Yes, well, this is what happened. So we're all getting ready to go out for New Year's Eve and, you know, getting all dolled up, had a few beers, and anyway, my friend, she owned some ferrets.
Oh, no.
And quite friendly ferrets, you know, like used to handle them all the time, and she'd kiss them, and they were great, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll give him a kiss for New Year's Eve, you know. And so I put him up to me lip, and he latched onto the top of my lip, and I, as he did that, I pulled him away, and he ripped the big piece out of my lip.
Oh my God.
No.
Well, oh my God.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That is traumatic, Nicole. I do feel like you're not the first one to start New Year's Eve kissing a rodent, though.
Yeah.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I want to talk about something that has been, I guess, a relief, a bit of a game changer for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I've really ever spoken about this on the show, but I'm definitely not alone in this. And it's something I've always had, and it's very common. But when it comes to that time of month, I experience a lot of pain. I always have.
I remember you telling me about this when you first started working here. You literally said there's going to be some months where I might be laying on the floor and like in legit pain. Now, I haven't seen that, but you warned me beforehand that this could potentially happen.
I think I've just learnt a level of like, this is life, and to just power through it.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a hero by saying that. It's just you accept a level of pain. And I've gone to the doctors about this. And I mean, I can remember going to my uni doctor about it way back when and being told to put buy myself a wheat bag.
Okay.
Which did not really help.
Yeah.
I've been put on the pill for it. That didn't do anything.
Oh, wow.
Just a range of different things. And I feel like there is a new, I guess, disease that's kind of come to the forefront that affects women, that's endometriosis.
Yep.
Now, this is something that I have brought up to doctors in the past. And I've, not that I've been dismissed, but they said, oh, if you've got that, you'll know. You know?
We chatted to Ellie Angel Mobbs, who's an ambassador for that. And she said that doctors quite often will kind of blow you off when
yes.
it comes to stuff like that.
And but it's kind of, I'm not going to put all the blame on me, but I haven't advocated for myself. I've always kind of mentioned it at the end of the appointment. Like, hey, so yeah. Just why I'm here, just, you know, is this normal? And I have been told, and it is true, that a level of pain can come along with that time of month.
Yeah.
But the other day I was on the phone to my girlfriend. She's like, oh, you don't sound well. Now, this is a girlfriend that has known me forever, you know. And I said, oh, you know me, it's that time of month. Like, and she goes, are you still struggling with that? She goes, I remember when we were in high school, like you being curled up in a ball. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I know. And I was like, but, and she goes, I don't experience that. She goes, you got to just get a grip and you got to, you know, do something about this.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm sick of just, and I get a bit of anxiety around that time of month, knowing that there is going to be a level of pain there. Like, why am I pushing through
this?
That's brutal. So I went, you know what? I booked a doctor's appointment and I was nervous about it. And I booked with a new doctor.
Yeah, good. Was this a specialty kind of doctor?
Just a normal GP.
Yep.
And I went in there and I was a bit sheepish about it because the thing is, you never want to be a whinger. And I said, look, this might be nothing, but this is what I'm experiencing. And the way she was so receptive to what I had to say, and she goes, all right, well, straight away, we're going to order you an ultrasound just to see what's going on. And it might be nothing. I haven't had that ultrasound yet.
Yeah.
But even just knowing that there will be an answer, just to know where I'm at. But the thing that got me emotional is she goes, and I'm going to write you a script because Nurofen, Panadol, it does nothing. I've tried everything in the book. I bought machines, everything. It does not work. And she goes, and I'm going to write you a prescription for pain medication specifically for that so that you don't have to suffer even if you don't have endometriosis.
Yeah.
And the idea that I don't have to deal with that and not have that dread or that feeling or push through something, that there is literally something I can take that will help. And it was a 2-second fix. It was nothing to her. She wrote the script straight away. And knowing that I have that in my cupboard now, it's everything to me. It's literally, and I know it's going to sound dramatic, it's life-changing. And it was to have someone sit across from you and be like, I see you, I hear you, and you don't have to suffer anymore. It just, And again, a little bit on me for not advocating for myself, but
yeah, but like, I mean, you've brought up with doctors. What more do you do?
Exactly.
Like, no,
and
I don't think it's
on I'm
you.
Not the only one. There's a thing. There's actually an inquiry going on at the moment to look into women's pain.
Yeah.
So at the moment, they estimate, they call it the gender pain gap, that 40% of women, 40%, and this is an estimate.
Yeah.
They're trying to really hone in on the numbers. At any one time, are living with unnecessary pain.
Yeah.
So I guess
I'm not shocked by that.
My takeaway is just be an advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't accept what you think is the status quo, because that was, I walked away from that appointment feeling like, oh my God, why is this just not done sooner? I literally raced to the chemist to fill that prescription.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, yeah, I could have some answers or at least a solution is just, it's everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Life-changing.
No, I don't think that's an understatement either. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously on the outside, wouldn't have a clue regarding that, but it's about your confidence, right? It's about feeling better.
And finding the right doctor that'll listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. So, yeah, well done. On your way. Now the only pain you have to deal with is me. So.
Where can I get a prescription for that?
You can't.
Alan and Carly, the podcast. Alan versus
AI. Now, this is where I take on AI in an effort to, you know, keep the humans on top of the computers. At the moment, but not quite going my way. AI is in the lead. Maybe. Today, we are covering everything going on regarding the strikes happening with schools. Now, this is happening in a number of schools right across the state. Some schools are going to be open part day. Some are going to be closed the whole day. Just obviously get in contact with your school if you're unaware. I think a lot of parents will be aware by now, but surely what's going on with their school today?
You would hope so.
You would really hope
otherwise,
so.
Otherwise, there's going to be some lonely kids standing at gates.
Absolutely. 83 WA public schools today are going to be closed in an effort to get a pay rise for teachers. Mm. So it makes sense. But with comes the strike, normally comes a bunch of people standing around a circle with signs. And they go, we want this, we want that. And I thought today I could verse AI in coming up with what gets written on those signs.
Okay.
Pretty cool idea, right? Right?
Yeah, the good old fashioned.
We'll find out. Hello, AI.
Hi, loser Alan, and hello, the number one West Coast Eagle supporter, Carly.
Oh.
Currently, I am on 7 and Alan is on 5. What a loser.
All right, no need for the clarification. Like I said, you were in front, rude. So, we're going to each take a turn. It's a best of three. Mm-hmm. Carly, you are judging.
Yes.
Fairly.
Yes.
So, we'll each have a shot at telling you what we'd put on a sign, and you say which one's the better out of that round. So,
okay.
AI, I'm going to let you go first with yours, please.
Teaching, the only profession where you steal supplies from home to bring to work.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Ooh, that's good.
That's pretty good.
I don't think it's the only profession that does that.
No, me either. Mine, I've decided to have fun with the word strike. So, this ain't bowling. Strikes aren't a good thing. Give us some of that spare surplus.
Now, I do love a pun. That one's to you, Alan.
Yes! I like it. All right, number two. Okay, AI, when you're ready.
Grade I education, grade Z pay. Time to raise the bar and our salaries.
Grade A education, grade
Z. Bit wordy
Z
for
pay.
A sign.
Couldn't agree more. And mine is a pay rise that's fair, or you'll never know the difference between there, there, and there.
Now again, I like it.
So have I won?
You've won!
Yeah!
Fucking computers!
In your face. That's great. Thank you very much. I really needed that.
Now, are you going to give people permission to use those today? Any teachers
absolutely.
Listening?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, please. I mean, yeah, absolutely. See
you,
AI.
Carly, you are the worst. The West Coast Eagles are a poor club for including you. Alan, I am still ahead, you loser. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
131060, we're asking, who is in the wrong? Arj Barker or this mother? Currently, the story is going crazy across the news, the internet, everywhere else in between, after Arj Barker asked for a mother and the baby to leave his Melbourne show because the baby was making a bit of noise, Carly.
Yeah, so the mum is refuting that. She's saying that she was breastfeeding and that's why she got kicked out. A couple of women left in solidarity with her, whereas Arj is saying he couldn't even see if she was breastfeeding or not.
Which I kind of believe. Like, we've been on stage. Those lights are bright. You can't really make anyone out.
And he was saying that, no, it wasn't because of that. It was because the baby was making noise and being disruptive.
Yeah, well, let's see what people are saying. Let's go to Lee in Bunbury. Hello, Lee.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, doing so good. Who's in the wrong?
Cheers.
Arj or the mum? Oh, cheers to you as well, Lee. Who's in the wrong?
The mum's in the wrong.
Interesting.
People are paying to see a show. They don't need to hear a baby. It was for 15 years over.
Yep.
If mum wants to go out with the baby, go to the Wiggles. Nobody else wants to hear a baby comedy show.
Sick of the
show.
Wiggles. She could have been sick of the Wiggles. I mean, that's relatable. Yeah, well, I see your point there.
She had no problem handing the baby to her husband when she was doing an interview on TV last night.
Yeah, interesting.
That's a good point. Where was the husband?
Yeah, that's another great question. Yeah, no, yeah. Great point. Thank you very much.
No babies.
Yeah. Let's go to Daniel in Dardanup. Your thoughts. Who's in the wrong, Arge or the mum?
Well, I'm going to agree with Lee. I think Arge was right. There's a right time and a right place to bring your kids, and that's probably not the greatest place. If you wanted to bring take the bub to the pub, to a band or something, it's nice and noisy and stuff, and there's a lot of people, and, you know, fine. But when it's really quiet like that, I think, you know, and the other thing, Arge was very, on the TV, very respectful of her.
Yeah.
He didn't belittle her. He wasn't nasty to her. He just said, this is my show. I think he's in the right.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much, Daniel. Let's go to Rachel in Bunbury. Your thoughts? Who's in the wrong, Arge Barker or the mum?
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Rachel. The mum.
Sorry, the mum. It's 8:45 at night. You want to take your baby out? That's fine. All those in this economy, Carly. Those tickets aren't cheap. And if she had any respect, she'd have got up and walked herself out. If she was breastfeeding, no one would have heard the baby.
Yeah. So wait, for the baby making a noise, you mean?
I missed out on heaps of stuff with my kids. Yeah. That's why you have them, so you can stay home. You know, you'll get your time later on. You don't interrupt everybody else's night because you want a night out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rachel. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Barb in Capel. Who's in the wrong, Arge Barker or the mum?
Oh, hi, guys.
Hello.
Look, it's not that she's in the wrong, but I agree with Rachel. You know, you've decided to be a mum. Stay home and be a mum. The baby's only young. You know, if you want to go out, yes, go somewhere where it's appropriate to take a baby. No, don't interrupt everyone else at an adult show. And wait, yeah, you have plenty of time later, you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy being a mum.
I'm writing this down for myself because I was planning to take a baby on a comedy tour, but let's wrap it up. Thanks for your calls, everyone, so far. Christy in Bunbury, wrap it up with you. Who is in the wrong, Arge Barker or the mum?
Oh, good morning. I'm a single mum myself.
Okay,
and I love a good night out, so I think parents, mum or dad, should be able to.
Yep.
But every concert I've been to, I have had to read the terms and conditions. On that should be either, if it's a 15-plus event, it would have it all written down there black and white. So everyone should know, have the same rules.
Mm-hmm.
But then why didn't the ushers stop the mum going through if there were ushers there too?
Ah,
see, that is a fabulous point, Chrissy. That is actually a fabulous point because I feel it. The thing that doesn't sit right with me is, you know, new mums, as you know, have it hard enough. You just don't want any more shame or ridicule attached to that at all. So that's where I think I do feel some sympathy her way. And that's where I feel where those women probably got up and left her just to kind of be like, you're not alone. It's a bit of a tough time. So,
but 100%.
But I do think, you know, at the movies, they do the mums and bubs viewing. I feel like maybe this is opening up a can of worms where there needs to be more kind of adult activities that parents can do with their kids, because there's clearly a market for it where, you know, new parents want to get out and experience the world again. And maybe Arch could put on a mum and bub show.
Oh, why not? I mean, I used to like taking the kids to the Wiggles, but there's only so many Wiggles songs you can handle as a mum and anything. So sometimes you need a bit of a laugh. That's adult content, but not so bad that kids can't hear.
Yeah.
You don't like my suggestion, Owen?
It's a dumb idea. It really is. I mean, the idea behind it is lovely. I'm just thinking Arch Barker performing to mums and babies. I just think it's trash. I wonder how many tickets he sells naturally, let alone like the restriction of a mum and bub session.
He might tap into a whole new market.
Oh, I feel like it's the opposite, if I'm being honest.
He might have to adjust his jokes a bit, though.
Just a little bit.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and we are so excited to see this superstar is heading our way. Going to be in Bunbury. Cannot wait for it. The 28th of July. All part of the Outgrown Show is the name of it. It's M. Rosciano. Good morning.
Hello. Is it wrong that I want to say Bunno? Like, did you say Bunbury?
Well, you lived in WA and worked in WA for a long time, so you're very familiar with Bunners.
Of course. I birthed in WA as well. Like, one of my children is one of you. So,
oh.
They have a separate passport.
Well, if you all had your way, we would, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
I'm coming back.
I have seen one of your shows before, and I always have a good time when I see them. And this one, a lot has changed since the last time we saw you do a show. I was just reading here that you've been hit with a trifecta, ADHD, yeah. Autism, and then early menopause. I hope that wasn't all on the same day.
Look, it felt like it. I'm lucky. You know, I've always been an overachiever. So let's go in hard on those three, shall we? Yeah, the last 5 years have really gone scorched earth on my life, as I've said, total ego death, not being dramatic. Some would say I needed one, but yeah, it's a lot. And that's a lot of material. And if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Absolutely. And I feel like, and what you've done with your diagnosis is you've kind of used your platform to normalize it. And you went and did a National Press Club address about your ADHD diagnosis. And, you know, as someone that watched that and realized just how powerful your words were and coming from such a personal place, it was just so amazing to kind of see you be the poster girl for this. Have you heard any follow-up about your press club address and, you know, how it's made its way through the parliament?
I didn't think that would be a life-changing moment. I don't know what I thought it would be presenting at the National Press Club, because they don't normally have clowns like me on stage. But, I mean, some would argue they do. I'm not going to go there. We also had a Senate inquiry last year, which I presented at, and we were able to, you know, get a number of recommendations through. When I say me, it wasn't me personally, obviously. I wasn't knocking on the doors of all the politicians, but, you know, I was part of it. And I think since the press club, we certainly have more awareness. Mm. And also, you know, women, especially in AFAB, are overlooked because the prototype is a white 10-year-old boy who bounces off walls.
Yeah.
And I was an exhausted 42-year-old mother of three. So girls, there's a whole generation of us who have missed out on diagnosis and therefore kind of struggled through life unsupported and undiagnosed. So I think since the speech and the subsequent Senate inquiry, we're just seeing a lot more awareness, and therefore, you know, people are realizing that perhaps they need to seek a diagnosis or they know someone. And hopefully that's leading to a path of more support for neurodivergent people in general.
Absolutely. Now, talk to me through how some of these themes are going to sneak their way into your show.
Well, look, Outgrown is the idea that we have to be okay with outgrowing ourselves. If things don't keep growing, then they become kind of stagnant and they wither and die, right? The Indigenous population of this country know that you need to backburn certain parts of forests to get new growth. And that's what's kind of happened in my life, although I didn't choose which things burnt to the ground. Yeah. So it's not my job to lie anymore. And often in comedy, we have to make this nice little arc and be like, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes it isn't. There's ways to get through those isn'ts. Jeez, I'm really making sense.
You're making it sound, Em, like it's going to tackle a lot of heavy topics. But the wonderful thing that you do with it's those fun. Topics is you make them fun, believe it or not. Like, I remember when you had some dancing lady parts as a part of one of your shows.
Best. Yes.
Will they be making their way back to the stage?
Look, I can promise you we have a new puppet. Get started. It's multi-sensory. I'm experimenting with light and sound. We're doing a signature smell as well.
Oh, goodness.
I'm fully unleashing my brain for better or for worse.
Well, the website frontiertouring.com for all your details and your ticket needs. We can't wait to see you in Bunbury. You're going to be at Breck. Also, bunburyentertainment.com, full details, Sunday the 28th of July. M. Rosciano, an absolute pleasure. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you for having me, my love. See you soon.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Carly, you know I'm a busy man.
Yes.
Got a few thumbs and pies.
You're
very
like the
busy.
Puzzle. What's your title?
Well, I am the WA State Representative for the Australian Jigsaw Puzzle Association.
There you
go. I am trying to ramp that up a little bit. Like, I haven't done a lot for them, but I've still got the title and I feel a little bit guilty. I've still got a boot full of puzzles that I don't know what to do with. Like, I'm talking like 80 puzzles. That's a lot. That's my puzzle right now.
You've also got a puzzle on your desk, so it'll be like 81.
Yeah, that was one that Shan returned to me because she just finished it. It's a good puzzle. Disney villains, great puzzle. Lately, another thing I've been doing, and this is a little preparation for the child on the way, is like I'm trying to ease the workload of things that I've just kind of set myself up for. So one of the other things that I've kind of been doing is unsubscribing from emails in my Gmail account, which has been really good. I know that sounds like such a little thing, but every day I get like 30 emails, a lot of it just kind of spam products and stuff. Mm. And now I'm just like, unsubscribe.
So then you can get like baby news now.
Well, yeah, but things that actually like I need to read as opposed to just like, oh, another sale.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm spending money I don't have. It's a whole thing. So I'll be doing that. Cat Haven, I've kind of like pulled a little bit of the gas off that one a little bit, helping them out with a little bit. That's detriment to the cats, but hey, what can you do? Gotta lighten the workload. But another thing, and this is the thing we've talked about in the show a few times, is that I was part of the SCA, that's our company, Southern Cross Austereo, social committee.
Yes.
We're in charge of the vibes in the office.
Yep.
So we do like, so for Easter, for example, I ran around hiding Easter eggs in the office, did an office Easter egg hunt. Valentine's Day, I got a bunch of photos of the boss, put him in a love heart shape and gave chocolates to people in the office.
Which led to a lot of confusion.
Yeah. Yeah. A few HR complaints as well. But that's all right. We glossed over that. Also for like Oz Music T-shirt Day, for example, we host a barbecue. It's just random vibes.
Yeah.
And I know that like some offices don't have.
The ice cream cart?
Oh, yeah, that was fun, yeah. But I know a lot of officers don't have that sort of thing, but we're a big company. And I'm like, hey, if I can get money from the company to go back to the people, let's do it. If it lifts morale, let's do it.
Also, when am I getting my cash then?
So, of all the things that I'm kind of pulling back on, I've had to pull back on the social committee. And I suspected that I was an integral part of this because a lot of the time when things get done, it's because I'm like, hey, let's just do it. And they're like, nah, sure, Alan, you do it. And I'm like, I'll do it. And I do it. And I said, hey, guys, obviously, baby on the way. We've been pretty busy. We're out and about. We're obviously Albany the other week. You know, we've got other gigs coming up. We're plenty busy. I was like, I'm just going to pull back on the social committee a little bit. I'm just going to like maybe I'll step back a little bit, let a few people stand up. There's four of us in the group after all. Yep. Five, actually.
Yeah.
And the boss was like, yeah. And I did this by email. I just sent an email. Hey, I'm going to pull back a little bit. In fact, I'm probably going to like leave soon. So, you know, good luck. And the boss was like, ha-ha. Yeah, no, probably disband it then, eh? And I was like, ha, good one, boss. And then I caught up with him the other day and he wasn't joking.
The glue is gone.
So I'm happy and unhappy to report at the same time that the SCA social committee is no more. I was holding it all together. So.
Well, then who's going to hand out the cash?
There is no cash anymore. It's going to be
that cash has got to go somewhere.
That's what I keep saying.
I am known for frivolous spending.
Do you want to be part
Especially
of the social committee?
Money. What does it entail?
A lot of people complaining about events you put on.
I'm used to that.
She's ready.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.